Good morning to you all out there. You are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. My name is Justin. Wednesday, again. It seems like the weeks just move faster than 7 days. I feel like we did the show just yesterday.
Yeah, we do keep showing up here on Wednesday, don't we?
Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think part of it has to do with the fact that we host a show on gaming. And that's what you're listening to right now. This is Press Start, where we talk every week about the gaming industry, its status, and many other things all related to gaming, because that's what we love to do, and it's an interesting industry, and we like to, you know, tell you about it. If you haven't been keeping up on the news, we've got news this week. We've got a lot of news this week. It's the Game Developers Conference up in the Bay Area. It's where all the major and minor developers from all over the country get together. They talk about what games they're making. They talk, you know, they give speeches on their thoughts on the future of games and how they, you know, some of the strategies used in designing games. So there's been a lot of good stuff coming out of that, a lot of announcements.
I'm jealous. I wish I was there. I have a friend attending that right now.
Oh, yeah. It seems like it'd be a fun time. It's kind of like E3 Junior a little bit.
It's like E3, but it's really more of an industry thing.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of don't go unless you're a game developer or trying to be one.
Yeah, and it's not really like a party. You kind of rub elbows with the, you know, you rub elbows with the other developers and sort of share thoughts and
strategies.
Well,
if a couple of the stories are to be believed, there is a bit of a party element. Apparently, there was a conference there where they gave out a bunch of beer.
Uh-huh.
And those little hand clacky devices that you shake around that turned, if I quote the article correctly, an army of professional, upstanding people into a sea of jerks.
That is actually kind of an accurate description of the gaming industry. I would say.
I'm not in that industry, so I don't really know.
Yeah. What industry are you in right now, dude?
I'm not in an
industry.
Yeah, I'm looking for a job right now.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to hire Dave.
Yeah, actually, dead serious. If anybody does want to hire me, let me know.
Yeah. Indentured servant? Are you into indentured servitude, maybe?
I wouldn't say I'm really into
apprenticeships
that I'm going to ask about jobs for.
Okay. Well, that defeats the whole purpose, then. Might as well get paid to have fun.
I have communication skills. I can host a radio show.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, well, anyway, back to video games.
Well, we'll be here for the next hour till 11 o'clock this morning. We'll be talking about the gaming industry. We'll be talking about the Game Developers Conference. We'll be talking about some various other things. That we will get to as the show goes on. We've got some music for you, like always. And if you want to get in contact with us, you can do that by... Well, there's a different number of ways, so let's go back and forth and take turns. How can they get in contact with us, Dave?
Well, they can send us an email at pressstartkcpr@gmail.com.
Or they can go to our website, pressstart.thefighting.org. That's where you can subscribe to the podcast and leave comments on the show postings, and you can listen to actually past week's shows.
And finally, if you're just walking by the studio, you know, pop on in during the music breaks or something like that. We love talking to our listeners.
Yeah, say hi and...
If you want us to talk about something, you know.
Yeah, you got something. So pressstart.thefighting.org, that's the website. You can download the show there, and pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. That's the website where you can email us. Inbox open 24/7 all week long, but especially during the show today if you got something you need to get off your chest to us. So, how's it going?
It's actually going pretty well. I mean, short of being unemployed in a week or so.
Yeah, well, that's
but
always
that's okay.
A problem.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
I'll find something soon enough.
Been playing any games?
I've been playing mostly DS games. Hotel Dusk, Castlevania.
Oh, started on Hotel Dusk, huh?
I did.
How are you liking it?
It's one of the best adventure games I've played in recent memory. Maybe in all of memory. It's a very solid adventure game. The pacing is good. The puzzles are not, you know, face-meltingly difficult, but they are fun and challenging, and when you figure it out, you say, so far they all make sense. So it's probably the highest praise I can give that game, is it's an adventure game that isn't crazy and that is a lot of fun. It's very engaging to play.
I've had that game sitting on my desk since the day it came out. It's not even out of the plastic yet.
Hotel desk.
Hotel desk. I want to play it very badly, but I have to finish Phoenix Wright first because I refuse to have two adventure games going at the same time.
See, I'm the other way around. I'm going to go pick up Phoenix Wright as soon as I finish Hotel Dusk.
Oh, there you go. Well, hopefully I can beat Phoenix Wright before I die, and then we can start on Hotel Dusk. There's so many other games. This weekend, I meant to play Phoenix Wright and beat it. I'm on the final case in that game.
Oh, good job.
But I popped in Oblivion, and next thing I know, they're about 5 hours down the drain, and I have no idea where the time went.
What is it? Castlevania, Hotel Dusk, Electroplankton, and
Shadow
Band
of the
Brothers.
Colossus. I know you were playing.
And, yeah, I got in an hour of Shadow of the Colossus.
Still working on beating it, huh?
Yeah, I'm on Colossus number 10.
Okay.
I finally beat that number 9 guy with the geysers.
Yeah.
That I've been stuck on for months.
The turtle one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trick I didn't get is you have to shoot out both feet.
Yeah. Spoilers, by the way, for anyone who's like, you know, hasn't got there yet. But
once I saw it, I'm like, oh, this was painfully obvious. I just missed it for some reason.
Yeah, well, the game's like a year and a half old, so if you don't own it, shame on you. Shame. This week I got in Chrome Hounds. Our listener Chad, I don't know if he's listening today.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Chad in a while.
Well, I have.
How's it going? Oh, yeah?
I have.
Well, sure.
Over the weekend.
With him.
Yeah. Chad joined my Chrome Hound squad. So that was kind of cool. We got some... got a listener to the show joining and playing with us. And if you got an Xbox 360, Dave and mine's gamer tags are on the website. You can check it out. Add us. If you want to play games, add us. If you want to play Chrome Hounds with me and Chad and other people, join the squad. I'll give you details on how to join us. And, of course, last night I was up quite late because, you know, Wednesday is Xbox Live Arcade release day. And last night at 1 a.m., I was up till 1 a.m. last night waiting for Worms.
What were we thinking, having a show the day after Xbox Live released it?
I don't know. I have no idea. Worms is out for the Xbox Live Arcade. I'm going home today immediately after class and playing that game.
Pretty good?
Oh, it's so much fun. I love Worms. I don't know. You know, it brings back memories. The last Worms game I had was for the Sega Dreamcast, Worms World Party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so it's been a while. But me and my friends would always play that game, like on Friday and Saturday nights. We'd get together, have crazy four-player matches. You know, ninja rope yourself across a chasm, drop dynamite, and
that's
go back
right.
over. Worms is such an awesome game, and it's finally out. Took them, you know, long enough to get the game out, but it's finally here. It's 800 MS points, and you can you download it. I was sitting last night at like 12:57, like furiously checking the arcade, like arcade new games, like all game downloads. I wasn't there. Back. Arcade. It was like the most agonizing 3-minute wait, but I've been waiting for Worms for so long, and I got it, and I played a couple of matches last night. It's really cool. They've because it's possible to play on live with four other people. They've taken out some of the creation elements of each level. The weapon set is pretty much the same, depending on what difficulty you choose, which is nothing new for Worms fans. So if you choose beginner, for example, you'll get access to pretty much all the weapons right from the beginning. If you choose you know, intermediate or pro, some of the weapons are, you don't start with, you have to pick them up in crates or whatever.
Okay.
But, you know, classic Worms gameplay, you've got the high-def backgrounds and environments, so that's cool.
Do they keep the resolution the same on all the sprites and just give you more real estate to play with?
The level sizes are about the same as what you remember. I think what really is high-def is the actual terrain itself and the backgrounds.
Okay, so the visuals just got better. You don't actually have, like, more visible area or anything like
that? No. Yeah, the visual, there's just, like, a nicer-looking package.
Also, it's just like it was before, which was great. And it just looks better. Cool.
Yeah, and what's also cool, too, is you don't actually have to set up the levels now. It's done randomly every time you create a map. Just the system generates the terrain for you. So every single game, it's conceivable you play on a completely different level.
That's good. Actually, I think the full version of Worms 2 did that.
Yeah.
I want to say. That was actually the last one I played.
Okay. Yeah, well, but I mean, it's good, especially if you're playing on Xbox Live. The host doesn't have an advantage setting up a map, you know, as well. You know, everyone's got to sort of adapt to that match. Which
That's
is
good. I like that.
Yeah, really cool. You can create your own team and name your Worms, of course. There are some drawbacks to this. They had to fit Worms under the 50 megabyte Xbox Live Arcade limit.
Oh, that's going up later, but
yeah,
it's not
up yet. And we'll talk about that. But yeah, it did have to fit under the limit, and so some things that you may know from other Worms games have been cut out. For example, I believe there's only a couple different audio samples for worm sets, sets for worms.
That's too bad.
So they sound very similar. And the other thing is there's only 22 weapons in the game. They've removed some of the like more unbalanced ones. There's no holy hand grenade, which may make you kind of unhappy because that
was
a favorite.
I was about to ask about that one.
Yeah, no holy hand grenade, no super sheep. No, none of, like, the weird ones, like the grandma or the skunk or...
So there's no, like, big one-hit kill weapons.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you want to kill somebody in one shot, you have to do something clever with a basic weapon.
Yeah, or push them off the cliff.
Because my friends and I used to play custom games where we would just say, yeah, these weapons are disallowed. You have to play with these lesser ones and figure it out.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be fine.
And what's good, too, is it's friendly for newbies, too. You know, they're not bombarded with, like, 50 different weapons. They're like, what does this do? What does this do? You know? But they've got all the good ones there. They've got the homing missile. They've got the airstrike. They've got they've got the regular sheep. They've got the banana bomb.
Good. I like the banana bomb.
Yeah, and they've got, of course, the dragon punch and fireball, which are fan favorites,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a good variety there. It's friendly to newbies, but it's still familiar to people who've played Worms before. So it's a nice mix. And I know I've been keeping track of several forums where people were excited it was coming out. And a lot of people, surprisingly, I didn't know this, had never played Worms before, and sort of they got sucked in by the hype that everyone else was, you know, like, Worms, it's going to be awesome. So I was reading on a particular message board, and people who downloaded the demo last night, they played it, and they just absolutely loved it, so they're going to get the full version. So
oh, good. I've got some Microsoft points saved up, so.
Yeah, this will be great.
Wait for a game just like that.
And yeah, if you want to challenge me in Worms and try and face off against my furious ninja rope skills, you send me an invite on Xbox Live Arcade. I will be happy to take you down. So,
I, on the other hand, am not that great at that game. So if you want an easy victory, you can challenge me.
Well, you know, I was playing last night, actually, and it's pretty funny. Some of these, you know, people were still trying to figure out the game, including me, the button configuration
sure.
and everything. I meant to use a dragon punch on some guy and, like, you know, uppercut him off the cliff of the level and into the water, and I ended up kamikazeing him instead, and I ended up killing my own worm.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Does each player control one worm, or do you each control a team?
You each control a team.
Oh, good.
So
I like that way.
Yeah, it's 4-on-4. You can play with up to 4 people, and you can, you know, cause all the havoc and destruction that is possible.
Great. Take that! Oh, I remember the noises.
Oh,
recording your own and putting them into that game?
What?
In the old versions of the game, you could replace all the WAV files.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just recorded all our own and just stuck them in. It was great.
That's cool.
I think the first one even let you formalize doing this, but do we have the demo of the second? I forget how that worked. It's one way or another. The only way we knew how to do it on the second game was to just replace the WAV files. I think Chad was in on this, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I remember all the terrible vulgarities we had the worms screaming.
Uh-oh! And what's cool, too, is about this is on being on Xbox Live Arcade is that there's going to be downloads eventually. There's going to be extra content. And so people are thinking maybe we'll see some new voice, new sound files for the game that you could download over Xbox Live.
Sure.
They say Team 17 has said there's going to be a mixture of free content and pay content. So we'll see what you get with all that. But it should be, I mean, even if you don't download any of that, the base pack that you get downloading for 800 points is all the worms you could ever need.
So long as they don't make it so that you pay money to get better weapons that you can use against people who haven't paid. So long as they don't do that, I think the expansions, I think actually micropayments for mini expansions are a great idea.
Yeah, me too.
So, unless you're doing that whole business where you pay for cheat codes. I'm still not over that.
Shame. Shame on you, whoever does that.
Yeah. So anyway.
So, pick up Worms.
Good times.
Awesome game. One of the greatest party games out there. Very important that you do so. We'll be talking a little bit later on in the show about other games that are coming out for various different systems, including a virtual console update for the Nintendo Wii, and also some other Wii news involving a particular music game maker. You'll want to hear that straight from GDC. Also, more Xbox Live Arcade content. Q Entertainment getting in on the act again. Lumines Live was not enough. New game from them. And also, an arcade beat-em-up that you may have loved as a child. Oh, I sure did. Some 4 green dudes and a mouse living in the sewers may be coming to the box that just so happens to be the same color they are. Well, partly anyways. I guess it's white. But you know what I mean. The Xbox color usually is green. Anyways, we'll talk about all that. That wasn't a great, like, teaser at all. Never, this is a lesson for you. Never tease something like that like I just did, okay? That was horrible.
4 green dudes.
Yeah.
That's a tease.
That's a tease. I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. In the meantime, here's some stuff off the Chrono Cross soundtrack, and when we come back, we'll jump into all that. So stick around. Email is pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. That was Dreamwatch of Time, or Time of the Dreamwatch. We haven't quite figured that out. But it's off the Chrono Cross album. It's on the third disc. And a great song from a great composer, Yasunori Mitsuda. Great game, Chrono Cross. This is Press Start, your weekly look at games and the gaming industry, broadcasting live from the Cal Poly studios at KCPR. K Cal Poly Radio. I guess that's what it stands for.
I think they actually wrote that in some literature once. I'm not sure. I remember thinking, oh, that's what it stands for.
You make it sound so high and like mighty.
Well, I mean, around here, literature, you know, constitutes like a flyer that
So we're not talking about literature like War and Peace and
not like old style books that you find in libraries we're talking, of notoriety.
We're talking like tourist stop pamphlet literature.
I think if it's written down, it can be considered literature at some level.
Okay.
Like, not like, oh, I read literature, but I mean like considering the literature here, because doesn't it just literally mean writings?
Sure.
I mean, literally, wow.
Literally.
That was almost a pun.
Almost. It was something. I don't know.
Actually,
what it was.
You know, I kind of wonder about that, because I've heard people refer to, like, in video games, you have the literature in this game, and what they're referring to is the parts you have to read.
Yes.
Versus the parts you listen to or the parts you see.
Well, that was a rather short-lived scenario. Now that we have voice acting, there's no reason to read anymore.
Really?
In fact, I recommend not going to school and learning how to read and just stay home and playing video games. You don't need to read anymore, unless you play Pokemon or something.
Now, that's a special we should do, is video games where the voice acting and everything can allow you to learn stuff you didn't know before. Like, I would really like
to... How about
the
Bible game?
Well,
there's a good example.
Actually, I wonder about that. Like, does it actually... Is it just scenarios taken from the Bible? Or
yeah, it's kind of a cheesy, like, part mini game, quiz game. I think.
Okay.
I think what I never played it, but I've heard that it's a lot like, I don't know if you remember back in the PS1 N64 era, there was a game called South Park Chef's Love Shack. Did you ever play
that
game? I have that game. It's really fun. But no, it really is fun. It was a great game. In fact, I had a girlfriend who owned it, and that's how I first got turned on to it, because she owned it, and so I bought it. But anyways,
the terrible comments. All right. I'll just continue.
But it's like a quiz game, and then at the end of the quiz, you go play mini games. And I think that's what the Bible game is like. Only it's like Bible oriented.
Well, I guess I mean not so much like a game that teaches you like history or things like that, but like, for example, there are a couple of languages I'd really like to learn because I like the cultures behind them, or I like things that come out of their countries. Just like, you know, all the anime kids want to learn Japanese, that sort of thing.
Otakus.
Like, yeah, like I'd like to see a game where, like, somebody was hacking The Sims.
Mario teaches typing.
Wow. Somebody hacked The Sims one time to learn German. All of the text in the game was in German. But you could mouse over specific keywords and things like that and find out what their English equivalences were. So you'd learn, it would force you to learn the grammar structure and, you know, the structure of what means what, because obviously you see the mechanics. But
it's kind of like my roommate does that, only he does it with Post-its around our apartment.
I tried that for a while, it just didn't work out for me.
Yeah. Well.
But so anyway, I'd like to see more games like that, because, you know, if I could learn, say, Korean off of playing a game, I think that would be pretty cool.
I would like to learn the language from the Land of Mordor.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, good.
Go for it.
We shall not speak of it here, however. Before we get into the news, I did want to mention real quick, we were talking about the Xbox Live Arcade and how, you know, Worms is so awesome. You know, really, the Xbox 360, I think, so far this year, we're 3 months in, or, you know, a week and a half or whatever. But I really think that so far, the Xbox has shined, not in the software that's been released for it, but in the Xbox Live Arcade. I think really that's been the star of the show for that system so far since January 1st.
I think the real star this year for that system is it's not catching fire anymore.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
It's not breaking all the time.
That's good.
Know, all those things I used to complain about, like, not really a problem anymore.
Yeah, well, that's always good too. I mean,
but yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as
like
the games
and
go,
features,
yeah,
things
yeah.
they would advertise.
Yeah,
like,
I think
really see Microsoft advertising me like now with 20% less fire.
I think yeah, Xbox Live Arcade is good. No fire, also very good. But so let's talk about Xbox Live Arcade really quick. There's a lot of stuff in the news. I teased a little bit. So Game Developers Conference, Q Entertainment, and why am I forgetting this guy's name?
Oh, yeah, Mizuguchi fellow.
Yeah, Mizuguchi. What's his first name? Tetsuya. Yeah, okay. I was confusing him with Hironobu Sakaguchi. All those Japanese names sound similar to me. Tetsuya Mizuguchi, creator of games you may know, Meteos, Lumines, Rez. Space Channel 5. Those are all games.
I guess he did do all those, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You say this like all the time, and I always forget it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say it all the time.
Yeah. all my fault.
So, coming to the... He announced this week, actually yesterday, in fact, or a couple days ago, that every Extend Extra is coming to the Xbox Live Arcade, and that's that sort of audio-visual... It's kind of like Missile Command, where you have this little guy. It's kind of like a combination between Missile Command and Geometry Wars, where you have this little like shape that you go move around the screen, and there's other shapes that are like bad guy shapes, and they like sort of float around the screen. What you're supposed to do is get your guy close and explode him, and when he explodes and hits the bad guys, they explode, and you make chains of explosions.
I've never played this game, and not really seen much about it, but I played I thought it was a Java game, but I guess it's Flash.
Yeah.
Up on StudioHunty.com, the guy who did In the Pit.
Yeah.
He made a game based off the idea of it, just in Flash, really quick.
Yeah.
And I had tons of fun with that. I sat there playing that for like half an hour.
Yeah, and
it was a lot of fun.
Every Extend Extra is sort of like a high visual musical version of that game. where, you know, you can, where it's all about, it's sort of like Rez, where it's about the music and the visuals all working together and that kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming to Xbox Live Arcade, and it's getting a new title. It's being called Every Extend Extra Extreme. E-E-E-E. So, the cool part, though, is it's going to have 5.1 surround, it's going to have HD visuals, and it's also going to have, you could play it not only with the music in the game, but you'll be able to rip music to your Xbox 360 hard drive and import that into the game, so you can do custom soundtracks to every extent.
So we'll just be playing a song alongside of it. It won't be doing any layering or anything like that.
You know, I don't know. I've never played Every Extend Extra, so I don't know how it works with the music, but I would assume that if it's like anything other, if it's anything like other Q entertainment games that are like that, it's that the music actually goes along with what you're playing.
Okay. Well, I mean, so, if you can import your own music in,
yeah.
I'm kind of curious how that's going to,
well, I mean,
how
they,
that's going to work.
I imagine it would work similar to like a visualizer on, let's say, Winamp or iTunes, you know, how it can synchronize itself to the beat of the music.
Well, I mean, because Q entertainment games have always had, you know, one soundtrack going in the background. And then you have other noises related to that soundtrack happening as sound effects.
Yeah.
Luminous, that's what that was all about.
Yeah.
Rez had the same thing. Every time you hit an enemy, it would make a noise that was timed with the music. He was even on beat. But, you know, the first thing I do with games like that is I go find some CD that I don't think will fit at all and try it out and see how well it fits.
So you try and break it first rather than enjoying it.
Well, I end up enjoying it. I just want to know how it works.
Okay.
I get curious.
Well, that's what they're saying. So it'll be out sometime this year. Hopefully that doesn't mean we have to wait until the next Ice Age, but you know, we'll see if they deliver on that. But that's gonna be great. The other Xbox Live Arcade news is this is the whole fiasco with the green thing and the mouse in the sewers. Remember the old Ninja Turtles arcade game?
Teenage, I sure do.
Oh, of course. I don't know how you don't. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game. That was just great fun. It's coming to the Xbox Live Arcade. Ubisoft is going to be publishing it to the internet. It's going to have four-player online play, which is awesome. You can be able to play with people over Xbox Live. And? It's going to be 400 Microsoft points.
Oh, good.
The cheap price point is right on that one.
Sure.
The 1989 arcade game, it's going to rock. And, you know, if you're... That used to be, like, my favorite arcade game. There are, like, three arcade games that I played, like, religiously. It was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Simpsons, and there was like this football game, this arcade football game at one of my local arcades that I played a lot, but I don't know what that one was called. So I'm just going to stick with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But, you know, awesome game. I know you played that game a lot.
I did. I enjoyed that one.
Who's your turtle?
I actually usually played Leonardo.
Leonardo.
Because I like the swords.
Okay. I usually played Michelangelo. You know, my taste in Ninja Turtle has evolved. I can't believe we're going to have the discussion here, but, you know, I used to love Michelangelo.
A lot of people have had this discussion,
he was a party dude, you know, cowabunga and all that, and, I mean, the nunchaku, who, you know, who doesn't love those? But I think I'm more of a Raphael man now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Just because. I don't know.
Just because?
He's got attitude. Of course, I don't know, you know.
What was the line in the theme song? He's cool but rude.
He's, yeah, and Michelangelo's the party dude. So, I love it. I'm so, I can't wait.
We had a band show up at my high school once. I think it was my junior year. And I'm walking by, you know, they're playing, you know, whatever it is high school bands play. And I walk by and I'm like, man, this song sounds familiar. And I realize they're covering the Ninja Turtles theme. You know, a bunch of people about to graduate from high school playing the Ninja Turtles. They're getting quite into it. It was great. We see a lot of game remixes, but we don't see a lot of, you know,
Turtles remixes.
Yet. Yeah.
We get a comment here from a listener. Raphael is brooding. I like him. I wouldn't say he's brooding. He's more of kind of a smart, you know, he's a smarty pants. And he has the size, of course. Those are cool weapons.
Nobody likes me. I'll destroy them all.
you know, I had a friend tell me once when I was a kid, Raphael is the only turtle who realized he was on a TV show. Because he always made the comments like, oh, what's going to happen in this episode? You know, because he was kind of like that. So I always thought that was funny. But that's coming to Xbox Live Arcade, and it's coming this month. Ubisoft promises it'll be out on the Xbox Live Arcade before the end of March.
So of course, in the video games industry, promises mean nothing. So if it comes out, that will be awesome. And if it doesn't come out, it'll come later.
Yes. Well, hopefully sooner rather than later.
You know, things come out when they come out. I set in my pre-order for Odama a week before it was scheduled to release on March 15th. And it didn't come out until September.
That's because it was on a Nintendo system. You should expect that.
Yeah, but you know what? The release date was March 15th, up until a week before.
Well, yeah, that happens.
So, you know, I just
I'll shed some tears for you.
When it comes out, that's cool. Duke Nukem Forever, when that comes out, probably be pretty fun.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, Duke Nukem Forever, release date forever.
Yeah, it's the game named after the dev time.
Yeah, that's right. And finally, I do want to get to this last piece of Xbox Live Arcade news, and that is the official announcement for a new memory unit and the new size limit for Xbox Live Arcade games. Xbox Live Arcade, it was thought it was going to be 250 megabytes a couple months ago. That was going to be the limit that they were going to raise it to. They've sort of changed that since then. The new limit for arcade games is going to be 150 megabytes.
Wow.
So it's still pretty sizable. I mean, that's like three times what we're getting now.
Well, I mean, I just bought a computer to play games that has a whopping 64K of memory.
Wow.
So, I mean, I
impressive.
Understand that there's sort of a relative concern here. But, you know, a lot of games these days come out, they're like 3 gigs.
Yeah.
You know, they fit on a DVD, maybe 2.
I downloaded the Crackdown demo for Xbox 360. That was a gig by itself. So
it's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. But, yeah, Xbox Live Arcade, it's going to be 150 megabytes. But it's also... they're also coming out with a new memory unit, so those of you who were dumb and bought the core system, and you can now buy a 512 megabyte memory unit for the system if you don't want to get the hard drive. It's going to be half the price of the hard drive, and that should have enough space on it to, you know,
should be fine.
Hold all your data.
I've actually found a use for those things, hauling your profile around to different Xboxes.
Yeah, if you have the desire to thrash people's other profile by showing them yours, because it's so much higher.
Well, a lot of other people, I mean, like, we had a friend come visit us who moved down from Washington. He, you know, he brought his card, he came over, played his games here using his account. It worked all very smoothly.
But cool.
Is it possible to just make a new account and sign in using the same credentials? I mean, how does that work? How does it track what games you've bought? Can you re-download those games? I have no idea.
What do you mean?
Well, so if you buy a game on Live Arcade, and say you get a new, you know, a new Xbox, new hard drive, can you re-download those same games?
As I understand it, and I think Microsoft is actually going to be changing this, but let's say, you know, you download, we'll use Worms as an example.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your account on your Xbox, you download Worms, and you're playing it, so it goes on your, you know, gamer tag. Now let's say your Xbox 360 bricks itself, and you have to get a new one. Well, obviously, you keep the hard drive, but it's a different system. The way Microsoft has it set up is that the downloads are tied to the system, not to the profile. Now, that's going to be changing with the next dashboard update, as I understand it. But right now, what happens is if you can call Microsoft and have them rekey the games so that you can get them. So let's say you get a new Xbox, and you can get them rekeyed so that everything's fine. But if you don't get them rekeyed, what happens is you can only... On the new Xbox system, you can only play those games when you're signed into Xbox Live.
I see. Okay. So, well, sure. When this guy brought it over, he had some games on there that ran just fine. But as soon as he took his memory card with his account off, they became the demo versions.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens. If you're not so, let's say on your new Xbox after your old one got messed up, you plug in the hard drive, you sign in as your profile, but you're not onto Xbox Live. You can only play the demos of the games that you used to own. But once you sign in, you get access to the full games.
Okay.
So,
It'd be kind of cool if they documented it better, but I guess it's okay.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be changing that. And even if they don't, you can still get everything rekeyed to a new system so that you can have access to it. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Now, let's move on to the Virtual Console since we're on to the topic of downloadable games. This week, the Virtual Console got Elevator Action, which is that NES game.
Oh, I liked that game.
Elevator Action. It's pretty hard, I thought, when I played it.
Oh, it was all kinds of hard.
Yeah. They also released Super Ghouls and Ghosts. You may remember that game. Platformer, quality game.
Also really hard.
And they released the little-known Sega Genesis RPG Sword of Vermillion.
Oh, how about that?
How about that? That's on the Virtual Console. And that's cool because not a lot of people, you know, played Vermillion, so now that it's out for the Wii, hopefully get some exposure.
I think it's neat that they're taking a lot of games that, you know, people playing games today may not have had anything to do with, and then they mix them in with very well-known games like Link to the Past.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of the Wii, there's a story out of the Game Developers Conference yesterday.
I'm curious about this.
We've been speaking about Harmonix ever since Red Octane got bought by Activision. Harmonix is off the development for the Guitar Hero games, which is kind of sad if you're a Harmonix fan like I know you are. But Harmonix has been working on another music game in the meantime. They haven't let slip what it is, you know, no details out, but they say it's going to be better than you could possibly imagine. They're kind of promising a new experience for music games. This one is going to be published by EA and MTV.
Interesting.
So they picked up the publishing rights to the new Harmonix music game. It's coming out sometime soon, hopefully. There's no really release date for it yet, but it is being speculated about that EA has some... They announced that they have some original IP Wii games in the works right now. And so people are thinking maybe this is the connection. Maybe this new Harmonix music game is going to be a Wii game, and it's going to somehow use the remote. That would make people happy.
It'd be neat.
It'd be a game, finally.
Yeah.
They've got this one game came out for the Wii this week. Tiger Woods. One game. Mm. So,
SSX Blur.
That came out last week, actually.
Was it last week?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I don't need anything out this week, because that game's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah, I like it.
I love the SSX games.
I had all kinds of trouble figuring the controls out for that game. Not that they weren't unintuitive at all. They were totally intuitive. I'm just very used to, you know, figuring out how controls work precisely, which button executes what and when. And with the Wii controller, you just don't have that. It's my mindset is not calibrated to using this machine. But once I got it figured out.
A little bit of a love-hate thing going on there.
Not really any hate. Just okay, no hate. It's...
Sorry, I mean...
I just have more trouble with it than a lot of... If my friends get frustrated watching me, they're like, what are you doing? Like, well, I'm sitting here figuring out at what point it's going to register.
His brain is not wired correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get back on Xbox Live.
Well, that I do just fine. That one has joysticks and buttons.
Yeah, there you go.
I understand those.
Video games for the layman. Joysticks, buttons, yeah. Everything's understandable.
Well, honestly, for a music game, I'm not sure how much I'd really want to get into using the Wii controller. Because I'm constantly getting false positives and, you know, oh, it's not doing what I want it to do. With, you know, buttons and controllers, things like that, like the Guitar Hero thing. If I screw up, I can usually tell exactly where I screwed up and then fix it. With the Wii, I'm kind of like, okay, well, like maybe it just didn't register what I was doing.
But you would have to say, if any company, if you've got faith in any company to do it right, it would be Harmonix.
They'll make it fun. They'll figure out some way to make it fun.
Yeah.
I suspect they're going to either have, you know, some peripheral, some optional thing, or they're just going to design their game so that you don't need that kind of precise control. Like, what was it? Mad Maestro on the PS2.
Mad Maestro.
You ever play that one?
Yeah.
So that game works by pressure sensitivity. You press the button, you know, on beat, but it's all about dynamics. It's all about how hard you press the button, which is a horribly inaccurate measure.
Oh, yeah.
Not only because, you know, that's the sort of thing that on a tiny little PlayStation button is difficult to control. It's just the fact that the hardware that reads it is only so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, you know, it seems like it takes a little tiny chunk of time for it to figure out exactly what's going on. Because, you know, if you watch the little test thing in the menu, the thing's jumping all over the place when you try to hold it one. But they just set it up so that you only had to get within these big ranges. And the game was actually consistently fun because all you had to do was aim for the middle. And then if you screwed up a bit, one way or the other, it was okay. If the machine screwed up, it was fine. If you both screwed up, then you'd probably miss.
That was a cool game, though.
I enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yay, Harmonix.
Harmonix. We'll see if it's the Wii game, but EA and MTV are going to be publishing it, that's for sure. And if it is a music game, I don't know how comfortable I am with MTV being on the...
I think I'll be okay with that, because Harmonix has consistently... You know, their first game was with Sony, and that was Frequency. Well, you know, Sony publishes a lot of music. If anybody, they would have reason to want to force music tracks into this game.
Yeah, but MTV doesn't publish music. They publish pop culture.
So MTV's going to be going for a certain kind of music, whereas Sony would be going for certain particular releases of music. But Harmonix made that game fun, because they're not going to put stuff in that they think is terrible. And I'm sure they're going to hold a veto over MTV. MTV's going to push for stuff.
We'd hope.
I'm sure they're going to get some things in there, but I mean, EA is in on this too. EA is really known for pushing really hard on that sort of thing. But Harmonix has enough musicians that they'll make it good. Even if MTV and EA push all sorts of mainstream stuff that we or they don't want, there's always a few gems in there. Look at the Burnout soundtrack. That was all EA tracks. But there are still some great songs in there, and I actually bought a few CDs because of that. And Harmonix is just, you know, they're just going to put in their own stuff on the side anyway, just give you a bigger track list. They're like, yeah, we'll do the work. We'll make it better.
The marketing is working upon you strongly.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I like
you.
Freeze Pop.
Are a
demographic.
You are a demographic.
yeah. That's right.
There was an interesting, well, it was semi-interesting. There's an article in the Central Coast Tribune, a local paper, on Monday about Guitar Hero 2. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
It was in the local section. It was a column basically about this father who saw his son playing Guitar Hero at like Walmart or somewhere, and he was like, wow, that's really cool. He recognized a lot of the rock songs in it, and so he bought it, and he watches his kid play all the time. But the reason that he was interested in it was because he always wanted his son to take up guitar, but he was always into video games and never playing actual real guitar. And so this is kind of like a mix of both of those loves, like his love to get his son playing guitar and then his son's love for video games. And he was exploring the possibility that maybe playing Guitar Hero would make people more inclined to pick up the real guitar.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Okay, well, so I played Guitar Hero and I said, man, I want to learn the guitar. That would be fun. I really like the feeling of, playing something and hearing the sound come out. The Harmonix, one of the lead developers.
Have you tried the triangle?
There's no triangle hero.
I know, but you play it and sounds come out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've held up, plates and hit it with spoons and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
The more elaborate.
You're a regular Beethoven over here.
That's right. I can't hear a thing, and I'm dead.
Well, no, that about covers that. Okay, show's over for this week.
But yeah, the Harmonix guy was saying, well, we think the coolest thing ever is making music. In fact, when you beat frequency, it says the Harmonix team believes there is no greater high than producing music. And of course, while they're doing this, the screen is swirling around. There's blur everywhere. And, if they want to make their game look like a drug trip, I guess that's where they did it. But he said, we wanted to make tools that could let people make music easily and give that sort of fun of producing sound and making harmonious music, give that to people who don't have all the extensive training. And they realized that video games were the only way they could really do that right now. And so I think that's kind of what they're going for. So yeah, I think that guy's figured it out. It's just like, hey kid, now see if you can play this on the real guitar.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna try and master Guitar Hero first because I'm only good on normal. Any difficulty higher than that, and I get a little in trouble. So.
And interestingly, a lot of the guitarists who recorded stuff on that game said they thought it was harder to play the game than it was to play the real guitar.
Interesting. Maybe there's hope for me after all.
Yeah. Well, in the real guitar, when you learn it, you're from what I understand, I am no guitarist. I'm a drummer, but I understand you don't have to have a whole lot of hand movement on your left hand that's moving all the frets. You have to, physically move it from point to point, but you don't have to press down really hard. You don't have to, worry about clicking this thing into its full on and off position. When you play with a controller, you have this giant up-down movement with your fingers. So it approximates the same movement, but it's actually harder. There's more movement off of the face of the guitar. So I think that's what they're getting at.
Well, it's a fun game nonetheless, coming to the Xbox 360 in
it is.
3 weeks or so. So
all that long?
Yeah, it's I think March 27th, I believe, is what I last heard.
Excuse me.
So we will see. We'll come back and finish up. There's a couple more stories I want to get to, and also you've got something here about Commodore.
I do.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. Here's some more Chrono Cross. You are listening to Press Start. Oh, that was a great song from the Chrono Cross album. Yasunori Mitsuda, well, arguably his greatest work.
What is that guy up to these days?
He's still doing games. He's doing. He doesn't do full game soundtracks by himself anymore. He worked on the Shadow Heart stuff. He also did Deep Labyrinth for the GBA. DS, excuse me. But he's doing his own, you know, music stuff outside of video games. So
cool.
He occasionally shows up at video game oriented events, but he's sort of, you know, he's a Renaissance guy. He does a lot of different stuff. Real quick, before we get to the end of the show, I did want to mention a couple stories. Sony and Immersion have finally made up. They've kissed and made up. So now this might mean that we may see Rumble in the PS3 in the near future. You may remember Immersion was the company that was suing Sony for the patent on the vibrating DualShocks in, you know, on the PS2. And they took them to court, and they finally settled. And now Sony and Immersion have agreed to work together.
How much did that cost Sony?
A lot of money.
More than the 90-some-odd million they already spent on losing that court case?
It's about $150 million. That's how much.
Immersion is doing well now.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that's a little bit. The other things I did want to mention, remember Ready to Rumble Boxing for the Sega Dreamcast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everyone remembers that. Well, it's coming back. Ready to Rumble, there's a new Ready to Rumble in development by the guys over at Aki, who you may know. They were the guys behind, you know, the N64 wrestling games, WCW, NWO World Tour, WrestleMania 2000, No Mercy, all those fun games. I don't know if you've ever played them.
I haven't, but wait, no, I did play one of them. It was fun.
Some of the best party games ever,
honestly. I didn't understand how to play those well.
Oh, that's okay. You get four people. Like, yeah, you get four people.
Smash buttons.
Yeah, exactly. And they also developed the Def Jam games on the PS2.
I enjoyed those. The second one, anyway.
Yeah. So that developer is working on Ready to Rumble 3, I guess, is, I don't know what they're going to call it, but that will be cool. They haven't specified what platform. They've said various video game platforms. So I'm guessing we'll probably see
N-Gage.
Yeah, it'll be an N-Gage game, Dave.
That's right.
Okay.
Actually, I heard Nokia is trying to re-release that and do another product launch.
Yep.
I don't know where I heard that. But
I heard about that.
Okay, then I'm not making it up.
They had some, you know, excuse me for saying this, but they had some pretty hot booth babes at E3 at the Nokia booth. Okay.
That's what they're notable for.
I don't remember anything about the N-Gage other than the fact that there were hot girls staffing the N-Gage booth.
Wow.
I mean, I guess I don't know if that's marketing. I remember what they were wearing pretty much exactly. So, all right. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, wait. Video games at E3.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Really? Really?
You were lying to me when you were in the Wii line, weren't you? You were just like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm here to see Red Steel and the Wii and
the Nokia girls.
And Nintendo. And you're just sitting there staring at the girls at the Nokia booth. You're just like, yes, hello.
I'm going to go no comment on that one.
I have a radio show. How are you doing?
I would never use this radio show for personal gain.
Are you kidding?
Ever.
All the time.
I don't know what you're talking about. In other news, we've got, you know, remember Mistwalker? You know the guy,
I do.
You know, I don't know if you know him personally. You probably don't, but the guy who created Final Fantasy, Hironobu Sakaguchi.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, you've heard of him.
Anyway, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at the booth babes.
Okay. The ones I brought with me today for the show.
Yeah.
They're mine, though. So, looking, no touching. Okay. Just like E3. Just like E3 in that way. Hironobu Sakaguchi created Final Fantasy. He revealed he revealed right before the Game Developers Conference started, so a couple days ago, when exactly we're going to see these Xbox 360 RPGs. Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey. Blue Dragon coming out this August. It's going to be coming with some downloadable content. That'll be cool. Akira Toriyama doing the artwork on that one. And that's the game that caused the Xbox 360 to skyrocket up the sales charts on the week that it came out.
Did it actually?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was only for that week, unfortunately. But
I heard it was good. I didn't know it was that good.
It was pretty good. And Lost Odyssey, which is his other RPG, that's going to have a Japanese, U.S. co-launch, going to launch worldwide on Christmas, or around Christmas of this year. So he's still got a ways off for that one, but it'll be worth it because that game looks awesome. And he also let slip a little stuff about Ash, which is a DS RPG that he's working on. That's also going to be released this holiday season sometime.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's the news this week. You know, it took a while, but there's just a lot of stuff to talk about, so.
There always is. I mean, this industry makes news if there isn't, you know, anything to report on. They can just talk about, you know, all the greatest games of old times. They can make something up about like audio games, you know, some bizarre.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Then they
just
can
like
make
we
it
did
up.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. I know you did want to mention this Commodore thing really quick.
Oh yeah, so I mentioned earlier about an old computer. I picked up a Commodore 128 actually, which is a 22-year-old machine now. And it's neat. It's old. It plays old
way
games.
Old.
It has
fossil
five,
records.
Five and a
carbon
inch
dating
floppy disks.
Are we carbon dating it?
Almost could. Okay. I think it looks like a fossil. But you know, really, really old system. A lot of games out these days got their starts there. I unfortunately don't know which are which. I just see games and I'm like, oh, some of these are ports. Some of these are originals. That's cool. But the Commodore name is apparently still around. A company called Tulip purchased it 10 years ago. And they're now going to start branding Commodore on high-end gaming PCs, kind of like Alienware or something like that. So, yeah, you can buy another Commodore. I wonder if all the Amiga fans are going to come out and ask for a new Amiga.
Gaming PCs called the Commodore is pretty interesting.
It'd be neat.
That's neat. It'd be cool if it only ran 5.5-inch floppies.
Yeah. The CDs, you place the CD into a caddy that looks like a 5.25-inch floppy.
That would be awesome.
There's actually a DVD drive or a Blu-ray or something like that.
Yeah.
But it'd be, you know, the nerd appeal of having a, you know, Commodore logo on top of your brand new PC. I think it's cool. I think it's fun to see the brand coming back out. I like old games. I like to see them get... You know what they should do is bundle these with emulators.
Ah, there you go. There you go. That would be cool. Are you going to get one?
No, because I won't have the money for it.
No.
Because high-end gaming PCs are something I will never think are worth the money.
Okay.
Because you can always just buy a machine a few years old and play games that I haven't played in years that have been out for years. So, yeah, no
problem. Interesting the name is back, though. I mean, that's a name that resonates with a lot of people.
Oh, and you know, as soon as it comes out, I can tell people, yeah, I've got one of those. I got a Commodore. Got a sheep, too.
Yeah. A sheep?
Got it cheap.
Oh, too. I thought you said got a sheep, too.
No.
I was going to say, does it explode?
I have,
like
no, I have no
style.
Sheep.
Okay. You should get one. They're pretty cool.
Well, as soon as they add it to Worms.
Okay. There's a sheep in Worms. You can use, not super sheep, but regular sheep.
Okay, well, there you go. I'll have a sheep. Tonight, on my Xbox.
No post show this week, unfortunately.
No sheep either.
No sheep either. But there are a couple of stories that I want to get to real quick. I don't know. I forget where I saw this. You could probably Google it. But a couple of weeks ago, I keep forgetting to bring this up. Some guy designed a game using a urinal. It's a racing game with a TV screen. It's a urinal.
Go, go, go.
It's a urinal with a TV on the top. And basically, you play. There's inside the urinal, there's four paddles. Like four, okay? So
that's terrible.
Okay, and each one controls the speed of your car, so you have to go in sequential order from the first one to the second one to the third one to the fourth one to go faster.
Can you imagine tournaments of this thing? Like, you know, you, the World of Warcraft players, right? They're crazy.
Arrowhead Water would just make a killing.
The
they should sponsor
yeah,
people, it.
You know, drinking coffee and various other beverages, there's like lining up to play this game. That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could figure out how to play it. You just sort of aim into the urinal at the sequential order of the paddles, and
is this Japanese?
No, actually, this is actually not a Japanese game. So pretty funny. That one I always wanted to bring up, but you know,
I am all for innovation in games. I can't honestly say that I'm
first time that bathroom apparatus has been used in video gaming. I love it. It's actually a pretty funny setup, this guy. It's like a custom-made urinal with racing game TV screen and all that. So pretty cool, I guess, if you're into
that.
Now
you're going to have people, you know, writing their graffiti on the screen instead of on the wall.
Oh, God. Have you managed to mess up the aim that bad? I mean...
Oh, you know someone's
going to
do it.
You've got some work to do. I know! So, and that's what makes it so sad. It's like... All right, well, this is a whole nother topic for a whole nother time.
You're serious? Like, someone actually did this?
Yes, someone actually did this.
Okay.
I've seen pictures. So, not of it being used, but I've seen it of, like...
Please tell me they don't publish gameplay videos.
No gameplay videos, but just the setup. The other news story we just got sent to us by a listener over Gmail. Guy robbed a lingerie store in Ireland, okay? Robbed a lingerie store... Arrested, he's in court, and he claims that at the time, the article says, he may have blurred reality and fantasy. His defense was, he thought that at the time he stole the lingerie, that he was a female elf. And that's why he took the lingerie. And
he was wrong.
Well, maybe he wasn't. He told his defense attorney, he had been playing Shadowrun.
Oh.
The game Shadowrun.
Yeah.
And, He told the court his character was a shaman or magical elf who carried a small Japanese sword as a weapon. And his words are, "I can't believe that I personally did that, and I deeply regret that. If I had sought some help, I would have avoided that in its entirety."
Okay, so on the one hand, we have the obvious blaming games for your own silliness. You know, how realistic are you? On the other hand, which version of Shadowrun were you playing?
I have no
idea. The latest release of that game, at least in video games, is on the Genesis. That's some seriously old stuff.
Yeah, he was accused of stealing two sets of bras, knickers, suspender belts, and stockings from the lingerie shop.
Maybe he was playing the pen and paper game.
Yeah, I think it was the pen and paper game.
Well,
that's a good note. That's a good, great note. Urinal racing games and lingerie stealing elves, not elf stealers. But anyways, thank you for listening to Press Start this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And next week we'll be back. Email pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. Website, download the podcast, leave some comments. Pressstart.thefighting.org. Any parting words?
We have a post show this week?
No post show.
Okay, then
we'll see you next
have
week.
Have fun.
Yeah. Next Wednesday we'll be here at KCPR 91.3 FM San Luis Obispo, 10 a.m. He's Dave Hampton. I'm Justin Ficino. Game over.